our help and only expectation. Is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 72, 2 and 4. Hide not thy face from me in wrath, turn not away. My help and Savior be, forsake me not, I pray. 2 and 4, 72. Reading of the Holy Scriptures can be found again in the letter of Paul to the Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5. Before we will listen to the holy law of the Lord.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Till so far.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Lord, make us alive according to thy word. Not only light we need life. Living communion with thee, who art alive, eternal life, who art the way, one, the truth. Lord, and that's never attainable by us in the direction of thee. But we have read it already, it's a gift, a free gift. And because it's a gift, the whole congregation could receive it, isn't it, Lord? It's a gift, a free gift. Thou hast said there is a condition to give, then it would be a work. It's free. Thou art a friend to convert sinners. Make them ready for a free gift, grace and righteousness among the whole human race from beginning to end. For we live in history, and history has a beginning or a creation and has an end by the new heaven and new earth. And we're traveling. Some people say we stay here, but we don't. Every day is a stretch. And many stretches make the way to eternal destination. And therefore we come together, for thou hast said that by faith in thy dear Son there is eternal life, everyone that believeth. And faith is a faith of those who are lost. Rest only in a given Savior, in his blood and righteousness. We pray, Lord, that thou would apply the truth also this morning. It seems to be a difficult issue. You have read all the texts. And when you read all the text, who can explain it? And only thou who hast given it by the inspiration of thy Spirit. To know these things, to experience these things, to have the fruits of these things. Remember the weak and afflicted, the old in age, and what's old. Ultimately, we're all one day old. Remember mourning families. Please remember the orphans and half-orphans, the widows and the widowers. The older they get, the more lonely sometimes they feel. Prepare their ways in today. Lord, remember the world around it. It's in upheaval. The powers are making themselves ready for fight, strife, war. It started already in paradise, a war against A and against each other. But two brothers were fighting, and Abel was killed. But he went home, and Cain didn't know where to go anymore. Lord, we pray that thou would remember the church and all the students preparing, the ministers around us here in preaching. Remember the education in the Netherlands and in Montreal. Remember our dear son in the ministry when he applied to be a minister in the church here. Lord, we don't know. Remember the Reverend Groot, and he hopes to travel to Canada this week. Make him a blessing. Remember the whole congregation in all the needs and sorrows, in the joy when some are expecting children again and waiting for the birth, and those who are born, have mercy upon them. Lord, remember our youth, the schools and the school boards, the children in education, and teach them the ways in day. Please open the scriptures, forgive us our sins. Don't look upon us outside of thy Son, for then wrath would be felt. But look upon us in thy dear Son, for the first time or another. We ask these things for his name's sake. Amen. Congregation, Paul has dealt with Abram and Christ in the chapter before. Christ is the seed of Abram. But in this last portion of chapter 5, Paul deals with Adam and Christ. The first created human being in the image of God. And there is a wonderful statement in this text that Christ is the figure of Adam, was the figure of him that was to come. Listen, what does it say? Christ was the example of Adam. Adam was not the example of Christ. Adam was the figure, the example was Christ. Adam was the type of Christ. We would always think it's the other way around. Christ was the type of Adam. No. Paul says, Adam was the type of Christ. Christ first, and Adam secondly. In the state of righteousness, we have seen that Adam was created in the image of God and after his likeness. Who is the image of God? The second person of the Trinity. So Adam was made after the likeness, after the image of God. And the image of God is the second person of the Trinity. Therefore, Adam was a type of Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Christ is the image of God. And Adam was the image of Christ. always can say and also can say that after the fall, Adam was a type of Christ. Christ was eternal righteous and became a sinner, not a sinner by acts, but to be accounted to be a sinner. And Adam was righteous and he became a sinner. Christ was righteous from eternity, never fallen, even when he was recreated. And again, you see that Adam was righteous and fell. Christ was divine righteous and was made sin. And that's the difference. Lastly, and I come to it, Adam was the head of all sinners and is the head of all sinners. In Adam we all sinned. We were all in the loins of Adam. And after Adam fall, we were made all sinners. Adam is the head of the sinful humanity. And no one does good, Romans 3. Not a single one. No one seeks after God. Adam was the head. By one sin, sin entered into the world, says Paul. But Christ is the head of all righteous, of all the righteous ones. You just said that they're all sinners. I want to change the word righteous for another word, and then you probably understand what I'm saying. Do you know what a righteous sinner is? That's a Christian. Or I can say it different. Do you know of which Christ is the head of? He is the head of sinless sinners. No? Then you don't know the scripture at all. You have not an idea of the scripture even. God's people is righteous. Do you know? They are sinless sinners. Sinless in Christ and sinners in themselves. Sinul justus, says Luther. Just and peccator, sin. Just and a sinner. A righteous sinner. In Christ Jesus. And Christ is the head of them. So Christ is the typos, the type. No, Christ is the example, right, of Adam. In three ways, like I explained it. But let's first think, 2:22, 3 through 7, then we go through the text verses. 2:22, 3 through 7. I, thy God, remove thy burden when thou callest. Set thee free. 3 through 7, 2:22. by one man, the first man, not Eve, not the woman, but the man, as the head of the covenant of creation, Adam, created in the image of God and after his likeness. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, so there was a world without sin, but in sin entered into the world by one man. God didn't create sin. He allowed sin. And sin entered by one man, Adam. And I have to say two things about it. In the first place, we were all in the loins of Adam, isn't it? We're all Adam. Eve was Adam. And their children are Adam. We're all Adam. Now what the Bible does teach this morning is that we all sinned in Adam. We all sinned in Adam. We're all Adam. The head of the covenant of creation. By one blood, God made the whole mankind. By one blood, God created all mankind. God didn't create five Adams, but one. Sin entered in the world, and death, judgment, because of sin. We all die, and must die. Better speaking about this, spiritually we are already dead. And we must be revived, quickened, by regeneration. We are spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. No desire, no longing, no seeking God. And we have to die in time. One day they will bury our bodies in the graveyard, if there is for us still a graveyard. One day they will follow our bodies and put it in the sepulcher. Where are we then? This week again in the Netherlands, a young man passed away, one of our members of the congregation in Friese Veen, a teacher from Urk, 47 years old, buried. 600-700 people followed the body. But he alone went into the sepulchre. And we go there. Why? Because of sin. And you can't escape. And then eternal death. If we are dying outside of Christ, who is eternal life for his people, we enter in eternal death, a fire that's never extinguished, a night where never is any light anymore. The uttermost darkness. For in Christ Jesus, the uttermost light, glory to God. But we won't stay here. And there is a reason, not your sickness, not cancer, not an accident, but sin. God pays out. And the wages of sin is death. And death passed upon all men. There is no one that can escape death, says Paul. No one. For all have sinned. There is an objection by the Jews, and they say, yeah, but the law wasn't there. It was given by Moses. Yeah, says Paul, but until the law, sin was in the world. Even before the law was given, sin was in the world. Let's say Cain murdered Abel. Thou shalt not kill. And he had to flee. Israel, before they got the law, got the command of God not to gather the man on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day. They had to sanctify the Sabbath day, even before the law was given. Tamar was a harlot, used as a harlot for Judah, and God punished Judah for it. He says, your righteousness is more than mine. But anyways, you see it in Nineveh, Jericho, but sin was in the conscience of man. Paul has dealt with it in the first chapters. Sin, the law is in your conscience. You know what's wrong. And you know God is a judge. You know it. There was a minister, he said, yeah, if you preach cutting, he says you get the congregation against you. They like these soothers. They like soothers. And if you don't preach soothers, they don't like you. He says, but one thing is in your advantage, class. He said, what's my advantage? He said, they might not like you, but they have the conscience and they have to agree with you. And that's right. So when the law was given, it was given again. Written in stone. Eternal law. Even in paradise was a law. We could eat of every tree unless that one tree. That's God's tree. And we did it. We did it in Adam. We are Adam. Yeah, but he says if there is no law, then the sin cannot be imputed. No, he says there was sin. So there was a law. Although not written in stony tables. In the consciousness of man is a law, the law of God. And I'm always afraid if you start immediately by preaching the gospel that you don't touch the hearts, don't pierce the hearts, don't make room for Christ as the only Savior. The conscience should be awoken that we have sinned against God and are not worthy of any of gracious acts. And that's how God works. And therefore he says, although there was not a law given officially, nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And I've dealt with it. But listen, we didn't sin as... Listen, we sinned in Adam. But after the fall, Adam sinned as a sinless creature.
And we sin as a sinful creature. So we never sinned after the similitude of Adam. May I say it? You can do different than sinning. You can. And if you think you're grown up, you're high-minded, there's no one that doeth good, not a single one, not a single one, not a single one. We sin as sinners. The fountain of our life is a fountain of sin. We call it in theology totally depraved. May I say it with a flat word? Total rotten. You and me. Me and you then, if you say not me. Now Christ is the figure of him. May Adam is the figure of him that cometh. He was created righteous, he became a sinner. Christ was recreated righteous, the righteousness of God. And he was made a sinner, isn't it? Therefore he's the second Adam. Adam was sinning while he was righteous, willfully, purposely. Christ was recreated out of Mary, sinless. But he never sinned, but was made sin with the sins of his people. All the sins of his people were put on his account. Think about it. Think about the wrath of the Father that was poured out on the Son. No, we go again. One sin, myriads of sin, myriads of sin. I can't count them. A valley of sin, a heap of sin. One sin. But now Paul makes room for Christ as the figure. Is the type. Adam was the type of Christ. Christ is the example of Adam. But not as the offense. Sin is offending God. Sin is offending God. It's an offense to God. But he says, not as the offense also is the free gift. For if through the offense, through the first sin, many be dead, not all, they will be revived, raised again. But there will be many dead, never raised again. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. Now we go, and we go by the whole scriptures. You know what God said? I'll put all the sins of my people on Jesus. Has your sins be put there? May I ask you, if you are really a Christian, you know it. That God took the sins of you and put them on the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. Did he? I can hardly believe it, Pastor. That's another question. Grace is more than the offense. And listen, he is explaining two things. He says grace and the gift of grace. Pastor, it's difficult today, but then the scriptures are difficult, and I hope God will teach you these things. First, the merits of Christ. He merited the whole salvation by putting the sins at the cross, that the handwriting would be vanished, taken away from the people of God, says Paul. We have dealt with it in the first part of this chapter, eh? He died for whom? For enemies and ungodly ones, even when they were still enemies. He satisfied, even without their permission, even against their permission, the righteous demands of the holy law for them. Do you understand me? No? And my dear congregation, it's finished. Nothing needs to be added and nothing can be subtracted from it. It's finished. But it doesn't mean that it's finished for you. There's not a general redemption or an all redemption. Therefore, Paul makes the difference between grace and the gift of grace. There is grace. But that grace needs to be given and received. You might say that it's bread by Peach Tom the baker. You might say it. But if it's not your bread, you can't eat it. You say to me, Pastor, you have to buy it. Now the Lord says you don't need to buy it. It's a free gift without price and without money. For those who lost all their interest and money were even knowing that they were enemies and ungodly in themselves. There he sits in the corner, the publican, Levi. Levi, follow me. I'm your Savior. Pay the penalty for you and give you the free gift. All God's people know that it was a free gift by which they were saved. Now I go a bit deeper and they say there is no condition for it. No tears are moving God. No money can please Him. No sincerity can move Him. It's a free gift for ungodly enemies. Never to expect it to be given to me. So again, my dear congregation, if you heard a preaching and say, Christ satisfied all the things, and it needs to be given to you. But it's a free gift, dorian in the Greek. Dorian means free gift. And I tell you this, my experience, you try to pay for it. And I tried it. But God made a hole in my pockets. So my last dime fell through it. I had nothing than guilt. He said, now it's my time to give it to you. That you shouldn't boast in your works and not your dispositions, but in grace alone, in me alone. That's it. And now I speak to the children of God. Wasn't it a free gift? But you never expected to get. And shouldn't God be boasted and glorified? Now, why I say it, then you enter not into your own experience and your availability and your readiness. Nonsense! But in God's mercy and the free gift, we call it sovereign grace. Sovereign grace. Do you know who gets it? Who never would expect it anymore. Cut off, over with it. He says, come, I kiss you. You're mine. Therefore, that old pater, pray in the patristic, in the first Christianity, he says, when the judge comes, he has in his robe hidden a lamb. And when the sinner is bowing to judgment, he says, here you have my lamb, my Lord Jesus, your Savior, your satisfaction, your righteousness, your peace. And you'll know it if it happens. Yeah, but Pastor, I have already a bit of conviction. Oh man, then you're on your way to hell, isn't it? When I was convicted, I was on my way to hell, not to heaven. And they might have said, oh man, that's a man of conviction, there's some hope. No, in me there was no hope then. No. That's all lies. My hope was gone. And when I had to surrender by grace, he became my hope, a free gift from the righteous judge Christ, was a gift, a free gift of grace. Let's sing 228, 1 through 3. Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication here. But grace is way more than sin. One sin made everyone a sinner. And how many sins? But one righteous man makes a sinner with uncountable sins righteous. So grace is overflowing. One sin made sinners. But God made a righteous who has uncountable sins by one righteousness. I have to apply it. If it is someone who says my sins are too many, this proves it's not, dear friend. Think about it. Millions and millions of sins of the people of God are covered by one righteousness. One sacrifice. One obedience. Christ doesn't need to be sacrificed week after week. Nonsense. He said it's finished. And he's covering millions of sins of the people of God by one obedience. And will you tell me that your sins are too many? Do you want to offend God again? Do you want to blame God again? This is what Paul is preaching here. Like John Bunyan says, grace overflowing for the chief of sinners, of enemies, ungodly, who says, I want to stop sinning and continuing sinning, making our debts daily greater. No? Now, congregation, I tell you this. I said in the beginning, Christ is the head of sinless sinners. You understand me? That's what Huntington says. He says, I'm a saved Christian. No, a saved sinner. And I'm ashamed of it. And I sorrow for it. But one day he will wipe away my tears, I believe. He did it already. He says, don't cry. I paid. It's a free gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now listen. He took the sins, eh? You can find it in text, eh? Someone is looking in the Bible, 16, second part. One to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto in the direction of justification. He paid. Therefore, my dear congregation, Christ has to be divine and human. And therefore, Paul says we are delivered by his precious blood. That's the blood of the Savior. That's God and man. That one drip of blood is more worth than the whole world. Oh, that precious blood of Jesus. And therefore he had his spear in his side, in his heart. And they came out of water and blood. Blood for reconciliation and water as a sign of the Spirit to renew me. Can you count your sins? I want to stop sinning and I make it even worse. many sins unto justification. What's justification? Then I'm righteous, yeah, but not righteous in myself. I'm just in his obedience, in his righteousness. Father, I come to do thy will. By active obedience, obeying the law perfectly, and by passive obedience, being made a sacrifice for the rotten sinners that have offended thee, but are mine. Thou hast given them to me, and I will cleanse them and clothe them, and I will present them to thee in glory, without sprinkle and without spot. And therefore I said, do you know what's justification? I'm still a sinner, but righteous in Christ. We don't like these things. Do you know what we like? To be better. Betterment. But grace is a free gift. It's what we dealt with. I want to be gracious, says the Lord. I want to give you grace. Why? I want to give you grace. Why? I want to give you grace. Why? I want to give you grace. For I have loved you from eternity, therefore, in my good pleasure. Yeah, but I'm not prepared. Right, you don't need to be prepared. I'm prepared. To deal with you as if you had never sinned, nor done any evil, in my dear son, and you're just in my sight. And again, I come, like I said in the beginning, a child of God is a sinless sinner. Now there is someone in our midst who said, yeah, but if that's really experienced, you hate sin. Right, you hate sin. I read this week of Luther. And Luther wrote in the first letter of Peter, why he translated or explained it, I know why, because the Pope says that he is the other Peter. So if you read that nice letter, that nice explanation of Luther in the first letter of Peter, you will be astonished. And he's told me a nice thing. I always was wondering about that text, that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. I always wondered that text. I knew the truth of it. But I could never really explain it proper. But Luther did it this weekend to me. He says, when faith in the Holy Spirit comes in your heart, you start to be weak. All the afflictions, all the sinful desires attack you. You have no power to resist, he says. Therefore he said to his disciples, after grace, without me you cannot do anything. It's a free gift of grace. Luther says, when faith and the Holy Spirit comes in your heart, all the sinful lusts are developing, attacking your soul. And I know it is true. Before I sinned, and it was not a problem. But after grace, sin was my weakness. But it's a free gift. He says, ye sinner are righteous in my eyes, in my son. And if that's really experienced, it has fruit. You can defend sin. You can say, I'm such a sinner, it doesn't matter. That's using the liberty for your own purpose, for your sinful desires. That's not how God works. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they have it again, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Congregation, Paul has said that we are weak. He says, but if you're in Christ Jesus, there comes a day you will reign in the new heaven and new earth with Christ. A in glory. Why? For I'm righteous in him, and in that righteousness enter into the eternal glory. Welcome. Oh, ye sinners, covered by my blood and righteousness, enter into glory. In this life you suffer, but after life you will enter into glory. You will see the hope of eternal life. For as man, one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Not all. All those who are given by the Father to him. Moreover, and now he comes to the law. He says, when the law entered, that the offense may abound. Now they have it. What's the purpose of law? Always a question, eh? And I hear people say, to do it out of thankfulness. But the Bible doesn't say it. Yeah. The purpose of the law is this. When the law enters into your heart, convictionally, that the offense may abound. Sin is abounding in thoughts, words, and deeds. Therefore the law is for trespasses' sake given, to make room for Christ. Therefore he continues, but where abounded sin, grace did much more abound. When God shows you more and more your sins, grace abounds. That's not the way of escape. It's a way of experience. When God works with the law, even after grace, showing you we are, and you're a Christian, grace abounds, overflows, covers. This is, to him be the glory. To him be the glory. That as sin has reigned into death, even so grace may reign through righteousness, through the righteousness of Christ, into eternal life by our Lord Jesus Christ. Then righteousness reigns unto with the purpose of eternal life. If I'm righteous in Christ, I have eternal life. I don't get it. I have it. And you know what I mean. And God's people know it by experience. For eternal life is to know God, be known by God, owned by God, and Christ Jesus, whom he sent. He is the light and the life of his people. Difficult, Pastor? Difficult, Domine? No, it's easy. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. But you want to buy it, isn't it? Then it's difficult. When your last penny is done and your last sigh of breath is over, he says, here it is for you. That grace may abound, and my glory might be seen. I love the Bible.
Why?
My precious Savior is in it, and the salvation is revealed, and I have only one desire, to look into Him for the free gift. Man, if you start to know your offenses, that you're worth of hell, He says, it's my time to seek and to save the lost ones. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word, otherwise we could never have imagined what Thou hast done. Faith is by the word. And although it seems to be difficult, so easy. For many people, grace is too easy. We want to toil, and we want to sigh, and we want to cry, and we want to make ready. And now I said, if you're not ready, it's my time. And godly, and enemies. Dead are you. And as you are, I cover you. For I've loved you from eternity, and I will draw you behind me. Lord, open the scriptures to our souls and apply it to our hearts, that we are not only having the truth heard, but the truth experienced, knowing the free gift which is Christ, given freely, unconditionally, to those who are unworthy and unfaithful. Remember those who are bound by sin. They want to go to the depths of hell to find Christ, and they won't. Near us is the word in our hearts and in our mouth. We have heard it. But oh Lord, apply it in that special hour when how worthy sinners in Christ Jesus are going to heaven, having eternal life in Him. Covered with His righteousness, having peace with God that surpasses all understanding. Have mercy upon the catechism classes and the teachers, and touch their hearts, Lord. Oh, the young people, please, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 442, 4 and 5, 442, 4 and 5. God will Himself confirm them with His blessing and the following. 4 and 5, 442. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.